Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
Was Elijah's ministry just all sweetness and light and one move of glory to another? Woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah, all day long.
No.
He had profound bouts with depression, with fear, with discouragement. This is the same guy who said, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. And I just picture Elisha bending over to grab that mantle and thinking, do I really want this?
We often look at someone who has a very public and fruitful ministry and think how sweet it would be to be in their place. But as Pastor David points out, there are many difficulties in any great endeavor for God. Yet as we look at the tenacity and humble heart of Elisha, who replaced Elijah, we see the qualities that make any minister effective. We may never perform great miracles or see supernatural wonders like they did, but we can emulate their character and exercise the same faithfulness they possessed. Now, here's Pastor David with today's edition of Enduring Word.
Well, the fire came down from heaven and it consumed him. It consumed the captain's 50 men. God brought judgment upon these men who acted as if Yahweh was not a real God and as if Elijah was not his real servant. You know, it's funny. The captain commanded Elijah to come down. The man of God didn't come down, but the fire of God certainly came down. And so I don't think anything here that Elijah did was wrong, even though we admit it was a sad and a severe judgment upon these men. Now going on here to verse 11. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, man of God, thus as the king said, come down quickly. So Elijah answered and said to him, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. The second captain repeated the error of the first one, but with even more guilt. Now, let me show you why he was more guilty. First of all, he knew what had happened to the first captain. Shouldn't have that made him more cautious right there? Secondly, he was even more rude to Elijah than before. What did he say? Come down quickly. I'm going to be even more bold. I'm going to be even more demanding of you. You know what I think the situation was in Israel? Okay, we talk all the time about the Israelites going after pagan gods, right? But there's something we know. We don't talk about it much, but we know this. There were no other gods in Israel, right? Was there really a Baal up in heaven? Was there really an Ashtoreth? Was there really all these other? No, they don't exist. Now, these pagan Israelites had been so accustomed to dealing with non-existent gods who can't do anything that they had begun to think that the living God, that Yahweh, was that kind of God too. They forgot. Yahweh is not like one of your little make-believe, can-do-nothing, powerless gods, the little idol statues that you make. No, he's the living God, and he's for real. And it's at your own danger that you treat him as if he was not real. So, he said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And as we said before, Elijah didn't come down, but the fire of God did. Well, can it happen a third time? Well, kind of. Look here, starting at verse 13. Again, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. Could you imagine being the guy getting that assignment for the third one in a row? And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire's come down from heaven and has burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s, but let my life now be precious in your sight. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. Now, unless anybody thinks that God was being unnecessarily cruel to Israel and to these captains and to their 50 men, the two sets of 50 that were consumed by the fire before this. Let me just remind you, that I think it was time to teach Israel some of these lessons all over again about the strength and the power of God, because now a new king sat on the throne. God had revealed himself to Ahab over and over again, and now he has to reveal himself to the son, and that's exactly what he's doing. So the third captain, when he approached his mission to Elijah, he did it on a completely different manner. He came to Elijah humbly. He recognized that he really was a man of God. You know, in the movie, in my mind, the third captain comes up and he sees two big spots of blackened earth around him. And he, I better change my approach here. It's time to try something different here. You know, please, Elijah, no, please, please. And then God speaks to him and he says, go down with him. Do not be afraid with him. Now, I want you to notice that it wasn't that God did not want Elijah to go to King Ahaziah. It was that Ahaziah, his captains, and all their soldiers acted as if there were no God in Israel. When the request was made wisely and humbly, then Elijah went. You know, you have to ask yourself, why did Ahaziah even want to arrest Elijah? I mean, he had heard the prophecy from Elijah. Maybe he wanted Elijah to come and to reverse his word of doom. And maybe he was planning on using force against Elijah to make him to do it. Perhaps he just wanted to show his anger against the prophet who had troubled him and his father Ahab for so long. Perhaps he wanted to dramatically silence Elijah to discourage future prophets from speaking boldly against the king of Israel. God assured Elijah, don't worry, I'll protect you. You have nothing to fear from the king. So what does he say here? Verse 16. Now he's not speaking to a messenger. He's not speaking to a captain. He's not speaking to soldiers. What does he say in verse 16? Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there's no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. You know what impresses me about this? It's exactly what he said before. Elijah's invitation for anybody who presents the word of God to sort of soften the message if you're in front of important people that you don't want to offend. Elijah wasn't of that kind of character. He said, no, I'm going to deliver the message exactly as I did before. And the main point of the message is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? You know, that's exactly what the captains acted like. That's exactly what the soldiers acted like, as if there was no God in Israel. This is the same message. Time didn't change the message. Ahaziah didn't want to hear it the first time, but he was going to hear it a second time now. Now, verse 17. So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Well, I guess Elijah's prophecy, or the word that God delivered through Elijah, it turned out to be completely true, right? He did not recover from the fall that he made through the lattice. And so there was everything gone. They lost Moab. He lost his life. He was losing authority in his kingdom. And he even had no son, right? No son. Therefore, Jehoram became king. Now, Jehoram was Ahaziah's brother. So this is another son of Ahab who becomes king. Ahaziah had no descendant to pass the kingdom to, so the throne went to his brother after the very brief reign of Ahaziah. Now, I have to tell you something that's going to be confounding to us, not so much this time, but when we get into future chapters of the book of 2 Kings. It says that Jehoram became king in his place. All right, this is what's tough. Is at the same time now, the king of Judah is also named Jehoram. So you have Jehoram, king of the northern kingdom, and Jehoram, king of the southern kingdom. It's confusing, but we'll work through it later on at the time. Now, that's the end of Ahaziah, right? He's gone. And from what we see him in this chapter, there's really not much impressive about that man. And we see him pass from the scene. But not every man is as unimpressive as Ahaziah. Let's look at chapter 2, a wonderful chapter, where we see the passing of Elijah from the scene. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Now, apparently it was somewhat common knowledge that God was going to take Elisha up into heaven by a whirlwind. I don't know how it was common knowledge. Maybe Elijah had revealed it by a prophecy, maybe another person. But for some reason, Elijah knew it, Elisha knew it, and the sons of the prophets knew it. There was some kind of announcement of this. And here, Elisha tries to tell his young protege, Elisha. I'm sorry for the confusion about the names. It's just bad. There's no other way around it. In English, the two names Elijah and Elisha are just too close, but we'll just get through it anyway. The older prophet said to the younger prophet, "You know, go stay. I don't need you around here. You know, go ahead. Stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." Apparently, this was some kind of a test for the younger prophet. Elisha was being tested. It was a test of his devotion, since it was known that soon Elijah would leave to heaven in some unusual way. The younger prophet wanted to stay with him as close as possible until the very end. And so now verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elisha said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. So here we have a continuation. There's a test going on. And I have to say, we probably don't understand everything about this test, do we? We don't understand exactly the personal dynamic between the older prophet and the younger prophet. But for some reason, this was an important test. You see, Elijah knew that God had a dramatic plan for the end of his earthly life, and he knew that he wanted Elisha to see it. But you know what I think is interesting about it? Do you notice the geography of this? They move from city to city to city, and then to the wilderness. Now look, if I knew that God was going to carry me away to heaven in a chariot of fire, I would have it done in the most public place possible. I would look for a gathering of thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, and I would have it done in front of, not Elijah. Elijah says, "I'm going to go out to a private place. I don't need to have anybody else what is going on. They don't have to know what's going on in my life. They don't have to see this." And so the two of them went on. You see, Elisha was determined here. He was determined that he would not leave the older prophet until God took him away in the dramatic way promised. Now, verse 8. Now, Elisha took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. Do you know what a mantle is? It's like a shawl or a small blanket almost that you would use. Think of it like a coat without arms, so to speak. Elisha took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. You got to admit, that's some miracle right there, right? This is amazing. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Now we see part of the reason why the older prophet was testing the devotion of the younger prophet. This offer, ask whatever you want. What can I give to you? It only comes at the end of station to station to station. The younger prophet has proved his devotion. He's proved that he'll stick with the older prophet. And now, here, after the dramatic and strange miracle of parting the waters, you know, it almost seems unfair. You know, it almost seems just like a convenience. You know, just walking along. Oh, well, I want to cross this river. Wham! You know, oh, let's walk right through it. You know, anyway, he did it. There's nothing more to say about it. He makes this great offer. Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elisha had demonstrated his tenacity, his perseverance, by refusing to leave his mentor. And when this offer is made to him, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit to be upon me. Now, most people, I think, misunderstand what the younger prophet was asking for. He asked for a big thing. He asked for a double portion of the mighty spirit of Elijah. You see, he saw how the Spirit of God used Elijah, and the younger prophet wanted that for himself. You got to admit, that's really wonderful. He could have asked anything for himself. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for status. He could have asked for worldly power. He didn't want any of those things. He wanted the same spirit that was upon Elijah. Now, he wasn't asking for twice as much of it. That's normally misunderstood here. The idea of a double portion is not to ask for twice as much, but to ask for the portion that went to a firstborn son. Let me explain to you this way. Let's say there's a farmer in Israel and he has three sons. Well, what would they do with the inheritance? Well, they would divide the inheritance into four parts. And the eldest son would get two parts of the inheritance. He would get the double portion because he inherited what the father had. Elijah asked for the right to be regarded as the successor of Elijah in his ministry. Now, I want you to notice this. He's asking, I want your power in ministry. He wasn't asking for twice as much of it. He basically said, I want to inherit your ministry. I want to receive it. I want to take it. Now, I have to say that back in 1 Kings chapter 19, God had already promised that Elisha would receive the ministry of Elijah. This was a request for spiritual power to fulfill the calling that he had already received. That's what he wanted in this request. Now, before we move on to the next idea, I have to just sort of pause here and ask a question. It's worthwhile to consider if this is generally a good thing or a bad thing. Normally, we don't think of one person inheriting the ministry of another person. Sometimes you hear that, you know. Take some notable man in the Christian world today. I mean, a commonly given example is someone like Billy Graham, right? Notable man in the world today. You say, well, who's the next Billy Graham? Who's going to inherit Billy Graham's ministry? And in some way, the answer is, well, no one. Nobody's going to have Billy Graham's ministry. No, I'm not going to say that nobody's going to have as great a ministry as Billy Graham. Maybe somebody will come up with greater. But there is something unique, there's something special, something particular about Billy Graham's ministry, and it can't be replicated in somebody else. And so it's fair for us to say, is it right for there to be an Elisha after an Elijah? You know, is ministry inherited from one person to another? Do I somehow have the power to say, well, you know, you inherit my ministry? Does it work like that? Well, I guess the answer is apparently sometimes. Not normally, right? But apparently sometimes it does work like that. It certainly did in the case of the older prophet Elijah and the younger prophet Elisha. So, basically, he left him with this idea that if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be for you. Elijah tested the devotion of his protege by seeing if he would persistently stay with him through these last remarkable hours. If the devotion of the younger prophet stayed strong, then the request would be fulfilled. Now, verse 11. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. You know what I like? I like the very first line there in verse 11. As they continued on and talked, wouldn't you love to know what they talked about? What does Elijah say to Elisha at a time like that? The last few words before he goes up to eternity. What does he tell him about? I don't know. But it must have been a very, very interesting conversation. And then suddenly, this chariot of fire appears with horses of fire. It separates the two of them, and Elijah is carried away up into heaven. It's an absolutely strange and unique miracle. As the two prophets walked along, some fiery object separated them and then carried Elijah up into heaven. He was taken up into heaven in the whirlwind, which was accompanied by the fire. It was strange. And then what does Elisha cry out? He cries out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. He might say, what a weird thing to say. I mean, what are you talking about, Elisha? No, actually, it made perfect sense. The chariot of Israel and its horsemen referred to that which defends Israel, right? Military things. Horsemen, that's what defends Israel. Chariots, that's what defends Israel. Do you understand what Elisha was saying right here? He was saying, you're the real defense of Israel. You're the one that has kept us. You're the one that has kept us from being conquered by other nations. You are the true strength of Israel. And with that, he was taken up into heaven. You have to say that this was the end of a genuinely remarkable ministry. One that in many ways was similar to the ministry of Moses. Have you ever thought about the similarities in the ministry of Elijah and Moses? Both of them stood alone for righteousness. Both of them were associated with fire upon mountains. Both were associated with the desert. Both of them met God on Mount Sinai. Both were chased out of their country by pagan rulers. Both knew God's miraculous provision of food and water. Both of them wandered in the desert for a period measured by 40. Both of them fasted for 40 days. Both of them were powerful examples of prayer. Both of them parted waters. Both of them had close associates who succeeded them. Both of them had successors who also parted waters. And both of them had mysterious or strange deaths. A remarkable man, Elijah. Maybe best of all in our text here is the fact that the junior prophet, the younger prophet, he saw it. When he saw it, he knew that the promise would be fulfilled. Remember what the older prophet said? If you see me leave, you're going to get that double portion. You're going to inherit my ministry. You're going to inherit the spiritual strength of my ministry. Now, I don't know. I have to say, Elijah's probably a more godly man than I would ever be. If it was me and I saw Elisha being carried up into heaven, me being the younger prophet, I'd say, Yahoo, I got it. The promise is mine. I got what I asked for. That wasn't Elisha, was it? He tore his clothes. He was genuinely grieved. It was an expression of deep mourning. But then he took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. That mantle was the special mark of a prophet. And it was really a demonstration of the truth that Elisha had really inherited the ministry of Elijah.
Well, that concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast of Enduring Word with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara. Join us next time as Pastor David continues teaching verse by verse through the books of 1 and 2 Kings. Again, you've been listening to Enduring Word, the teaching ministry of Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California. You can learn a great deal about Enduring Word by visiting our website. The web address is enduringword.com. That's enduringword.com. You can listen to the rest of Pastor David's messages from the books of 1 and 2 Kings, as well as many other messages taught from God's Word, all right from the main menu. Simply click on Media at EnduringWord.com. The best place to obtain Pastor David's teaching is through the Enduring Word podcast. Log on to EnduringWord.com and click on the Media option and then Podcast. Once you subscribe, you'll always receive the latest messages from Pastor David. Again, the website for all this information is EnduringWord.com. So log on to EnduringWord.com and continue studying with Pastor David today. If you'd like to talk with someone here at the church, call us at 805-730-1400. That's 805-730-1400. Once again, you've been listening to Enduring Word with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California, a listener-supported program. Please tune in next time as Pastor David continues teaching verse by verse through the books of 1 and 2 Kings. That's next time on Enduring Word.